Please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Today is Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate the glorious, victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has many wonderful truths associated with it, and we're going to concentrate on one of them this morning. It's in these verses, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. And the question we're looking at this morning is, what was the nature of Christ's resurrection body, the same kind of body we will have when he raises us from the dead? This is not mere speculation, and it's not irrelevant. It's very relevant for us that are believers, and it should be for unbelievers. So we're going to look at various scripture verses, but first let's lay the groundwork of the nature of human bodies in general. God created Adam and Eve as our first parents, and they had physical bodies, and they were without sin. We don't know if they slept before Adam slept and woke up and saw Eve. They probably didn't experience pain. There was no pain until sin came. You could say that they had a kind of conditional mortality. They would have kept living if they never sinned, because God said, eat all the trees except that one. If you disobey me and eat of that forbidden tree, you will die. And so if they had never sinned, they'd be alive today, thousands of years later. But they did sin. And the day they sinned, they died spiritually and later would die physically. And that's the sort of condition that we're born into. Our bodies are like their bodies after they sinned, not like their bodies beforehand. We grow old, we get weak, we die, we catch diseases. Our bodies are like theirs. They are mortal. We will die. That's why people die. That's why there are cemeteries. Something else. We are born with original sin in us and the effects of sin. We feel pain. We have guilt conscience. We have what theologians call concupiscence. That means the sin that in us stirs up certain things in our body so that we give in to temptation, not just physical sin, but other ones. We have that born in us, and we're doomed. And it's like something for the Christian that is not taken out of him when he becomes a Christian, and he longs to be freed from that sinful effect in his body. In Romans 7, Paul expressed this desire and says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He was writing that to the Romans, the Roman Christians, and they knew what he meant by that phrase, this body of death, because scholars have found out that at that time in the Roman Empire, occasionally they would punish a notorious murderer, not just by crucifixion, but in a very grotesque way. And here's what they would do. They would take the dead body of the victim and they would tie it to the murderer. Sometimes they'd even sew it to him, arm on arm, leg on leg, torso on torso, and they put him in prison and say, this will be your punishment. This is how you're going to die. And so that corpse would decompose and produce a disease that would spread into the murderer and eventually kill him. That was a body of death. So Paul says, we're like that. We're in these bodies that have sin in them, and we want to be released from it, but that body of death will die, and then our souls will go to heaven. But what about Jesus' body? The Bible says that he was eternally God, and God has no body. He is spirit. Jesus said God is spirit. And so Jesus was eternally God, but the Bible says in the fullness of time, he became a man. He took on flesh. John 1:14 says the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh. And so he took on a human body and he took on a human soul. Let me give you an illustration. You've seen me use the glove. Jesus was spirit and he took on a human body. And his soul governed the body. But that body is somewhat different than ours. He had no sin. Now, there were also some heretics in the first century that did not believe Jesus took on a physical body because they say, well, doesn't the Bible say that our bodies have sin? Jesus couldn't take on sin. And so they say Jesus was just a ghost. Well, 1 John chapter 4 warns against that and said those that say Jesus did not take on flesh, they are antichrists. Jesus did take on flesh. He was fully human, except in two ways. Number one, unlike all other human beings, Jesus was also God. And number two, the body he took on and the human spirit had no sin. Look that up in the book of Hebrews. He was just like us, except without sin. Philippians 2 says, he humbled himself to take on a human body. The angels have never taken on a human body. He did, and took on many of the weaknesses that we experience, such as pain. Jesus, as God, never experienced pain. God is beyond pain. But Jesus took on a human body in a humbled state. He could feel pain. He slept. He ate. He drank. He had a Jewish body. He was male. He had a certain blood type, a certain DNA code, a certain set of fingerprints that were unique. He took on a body. And it was a mortal body. He could die, and he did die, but in an ironic way, it was almost like, follow me, almost like Adam's body before he sinned. Adam would have kept on living if he had never sinned, but he sinned. Jesus would have kept on living unless he chose to die. And he did. And that had nothing to do with sin because he never sinned. In that sense, it was conditional. John chapter 10, Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. This commandment I have had from my Father, I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Peter, don't you know I could call down thousands of angels to kill these? In other words, he voluntarily died. His body was mortal until the moment he decided to die. Augustine opposed a heretic in his day named Pelagius that said, no, Jesus took on a body just like ours. He would have died anyway like we do. It's not what the Bible says. Nor did Jesus take on a body, and I shudder to say this, but there is a heresy that goes around, started with Edward Irving in Scotland 200 years ago. Thomas Torrance taught it before he died, and Karl Barth has promulgated the heresy that Jesus took on a body that had sin in it, a sin nature, but they say, no, he didn't sin in thought, word, or deed, but he inherited sin just like our bodies. That's absolutely wrong. Jesus had a sinless body. He had no concupiscence. He had no original sin. He was born of a virgin. He never inherited it. Adam could sin, and he did sin. Jesus could be tempted, but could not sin. He had that perfect body, but he willingly took on our weaknesses. He had holy blood in his body. But then, remember, Jesus took on a body in the incarnation when he was born. And then on Good Friday, he died and his soul left his body. Think about that. That body that was on the cross, that was nailed, that was tortured and whipped, crown of thorns on his brow. It was a bleeding, disformed body that was taken down from the cross and put in the grave. And he did that for us. And as we studied on Thursday night at our Bible study, for those days between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Jesus was outside of a body. The body was in the grave and his soul was in paradise. And then on Easter morning, he rose from the grave. Now notice what happened. He didn't put back on that exact same body a new body. It was physical with new qualities. None of the weaknesses that he had taken on in the incarnation. He took on not the old black glove, but the white glove, a new body. It had new qualities. Now, some people deny this because it is such a wonderful miracle, it almost passes our comprehension. So some say, well, he rose in the memory of people that love him. No, it was not a memory, it was a resurrection. Others say, well, it was just an allegory to say Jesus rose, just like in spring, flowers begin to bloom. No, it's more than that. Some also say, well, wasn't it reincarnation where he came into another body, another person? No, it was resurrection, not reincarnation. Others have tried to say, well, he never really died on the cross. He just fainted and then they woke him up. No, he literally died and rose. Here's another strange theory. They say, well, the Bible says the church is Christ's body, and so we are the resurrection of Jesus. No, that confuses Easter with Pentecost. Think about that. Others say, well, Jesus was an angel, and he took on a human body, and then when he died, he went back to just being an angel. No, he never was an angel. Jehovah's Witnesses say he was an angel that became an angel man. Jesus was never an angel before or after he was born, died, and rose. Angels never have bodies, but Jesus did, and he rose in a human body that's glorified. Others have speculated, well, didn't he go back to what he was like in the Old Testament where he appeared to people in this kind of mysterious way that theologians call a Christophany? No. That was simply an appearance of Jesus before he took on a body. But then another popular view, also equally dangerous, is that Jesus rose as a ghost. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. They say it wasn't a physical body. He rose, and they say it's like ether or like gas or smoke even. Let me show you where the Bible disproves that. So turn over to Luke chapter 24, where Jesus appeared. And it says that he appeared to the disciples, and they thought he was a ghost. They think that they're seeing a ghost. And so Jesus convinced them he's not a ghost. He's not smoke or ether or just a memory. Look at Luke 24, starting on verse 36. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit, a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of fish and some honeycomb, and he ate it and ate in their presence. In other words, he proved he had a physical body. I like where it says he ate this piece of fish and honey. Angels don't eat fish and honey. They don't have bodies to chew and to swallow it. And Jesus proved it to him. He says, "Even touch me. A ghost does not have a body as you see I do." So the Bible says he rose with flesh and bones, hair, organs, tissue, skin, and blood. Still had the holy blood in him to make that sacrifice, and now he's alive. Same holy blood. I say that because there is another strange view that says Jesus on the cross poured out all of his blood, and they even say an angel took it up to heaven, put it on the altar, and when Jesus rose, he didn't have blood in his body. That's not what the Bible says. It was perfect body with blood as well as skin and bones and all the rest of it, and it was tangible. Matthew 28 says that when Jesus rose, He appeared to these women on the road, and they came up to him, and they knelt down, and they held him by the feet. You can't hold a ghost's feet, but they did. When he appeared to Thomas in John chapter 20, he goes up to him and says, "Thomas, touch me." I don't think he did. I don't think he dared did, but Jesus said, "Touch me if you don't believe that I am alive." And except for that brief period between Friday and Sunday morning, Jesus had a permanent incarnation. And when he rose from the dead, his soul was back in that body. The hand was back in the white glove permanently. I say that because when he went back to heaven, he didn't leave his body on earth. He will forever be the God-man spirit inside of a glorified human body. Now, there are evangelicals that say, yes, he rose from the grave, but there was no change in his resurrection body. It was exactly the same as before. Norman Geisler, for example, has said this. But as we'll see in the next three or four verses, yes, it was physical. It was tangible. You could have touched it. They did touch it. But it also had new qualities. Things that he did after he rose, he could have done before he died, they would have been miracles. Now it is just normal for him in this glorified body. You say, what new things? Well, in John chapter 20, it says that the disciples were there on resurrection day, and they were afraid of the Jews and the Romans, and they locked the door. John specifically, who had been there, says, with the doors locked and the windows, and it says Jesus simply appeared to them. How'd he get in? He didn't knock on the door and they say, "Who's there? Come on in." He didn't come down the chimney like Santa Claus. He just simply went through the door and appeared to them. And he did that also here in Luke 24. Look at verse 36. As they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Where'd he come from? He just appeared in this miraculous new body. It says also in the Bible that he went through the grave clothes. How'd he get out of the grave? He didn't wait to move the stone. The stone was there after he rose and the women came. He went through the wall of the tomb. Bible says that he has now powers over the laws of nature. At the ascension, he just simply went up and disappeared in a cloud, went to heaven. He had now power over the laws of nature, such as gravity. There's something else. Here's something. Let's go back to what happened earlier in Luke 24. You know the story. He was walking down the street, the road to Emmaus, and went with these two apostles that didn't recognize him. But look what happened when he showed them who he really was. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. He disappeared. Just like he appeared miraculously to these others, now these others see him and they say it's him, and then just he disappears. How could he do that? It wasn't dematerialization. He still had a material body. And it's like not like angels who could appear and disappear. They don't have bodies. After the ascension into heaven, he's invisible to us now, but he's not invisible to those in heaven. He could do this ongoing miracle of appear, disappear at will, even though he had a physical body. This was another one of those new qualities in his glorified body. Something else. Let me ask you to turn to another place. Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Again, another resurrection account. Now, I know that some of these verses are questioned by some translations, but I believe firmly that they are authoritative, inspired by God. So look at Mark chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus appearing here and there, such as to the women. It says, verse 12, after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Those are the two men on the road to Emmaus. He appeared in another form. In other words, he was there, he was physical, but he was able to somehow change his countenance at will. That's why they didn't recognize him on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize until they were sitting around the table and Jesus again changed his face so that they say, "It's him." This is why Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him at first. She thought he was the gardener. And then Jesus just simply changed his appearance and looked normal again. And then she heard him say, "Mary, it's him." He did this in an unusual way on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember, he took Peter, James, and John to this top of the mountain, and they looked at him, and it says his countenance changed, and it was as bright as the sun. That was a miracle showing who he really was. Now in his glorified state, he could change his appearance at will. You know, our appearance changes over time. You know, you look at the little children here, they're going to become teenagers like other teens here, and their appearance changes, and then they become adults, and it changes again, and then they become middle-aged, and a little bit of gray hair begins to appear, and then some of the hair disappears, and then we become old. But our appearance changes, but if you look closely, you can see some resemblance. Many years ago, I was in California, and I looked up a friend. We were boys together, and then he moved when we turned 12, and I didn't see him for over 30 years, and I looked him up, and I said, "Jimmy, I can still recognize you, but you put on weight and a little bit of gray up here," and he looked at me, he says, "Are you sure you're Kurt Daniel? You didn't have glasses." I said, "I got glasses in seventh grade, Jimmy," and he said, "Where's all that hair you used to have to try to look like Elvis?" And I said, "Well, it's like Clark Gable said, gone with the wind." And he looked at me, he said, "Say something." He said, "That's Kurt Daniels' distinctive voice." I had changed, but there was still something recognizable. Jesus had a definite recognizable face, but he could change it, as it were, to disguise himself. But in his resurrection body, in that glorious white glove of the new body, even then he veiled his true appearance. What was his true appearance? A few months ago, we looked at that in Revelation chapter 1. What does he look like now? Blazing glory emanating from his face, powerful voice, like the voice of many waters. And that's what we will see in heaven. The veil will be finally removed from him, and we will see him as he is. What else about his glorified body? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This glorified body, the body of his glory, is stupendous. It's wonderful. And this is something extra added as a reward to his resurrection, the reward of his victory on the cross. The main change in his body, it wasn't less than physical, it's more than physical, and the main thing is, it's immortal. Unlike Adam, who had a mortal body that could die and did die, Jesus is not only just alive, he will never die again. It is immortal. He has perfect health, no pain. It's not like that voluntary immortality of Adam. He would have stayed alive. He had never sinned. Or like Jesus before he died, where he says, "Nobody takes my life. I will lay it down." He'll never lay it down again. He will never have to be incarnated in another body in order to die. Jesus said, "It's finished." He made the perfect atonement. And now he's alive in an immortal body. Theologically, it's somewhat like impeccability. What's that? We know Jesus never sinned. Being man, he could be tempted, but being God, he could not sin. That's what we mean, impeccable. In the same way, Jesus rose from the dead, and not only will he never die, he cannot die. If on that resurrection Sunday, a Roman soldier went by and said, "Hey, we thought we killed you," if they'd taken a sword, it would not have hurt Jesus. It would not have killed him. He was immortal when he rose from the dead. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15 that ties in his resurrection and ours, and specifically verses 35 and following. It says that Jesus died and he rose, and those that don't believe it are still lost in their sins. Look at verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what kind of body do they come? That's what we're looking at this morning. Paul says, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. And so God has put illustrations in nature. You put a little seed in the ground, and as Jesus said, it has to break open. It has to die before it can now take root and produce fruit. And so the Bible says Jesus died and he rose, as it were, much greater than the body in which he died, just like the seed is smaller than the plant that comes out of it. And God has put other reminders in nature. For example, squiggly little caterpillar goes onto a leaf, wraps itself in a cocoon, and then later comes out, not as a caterpillar, but as a beautiful butterfly. It's the same animal, but now with new life and a new quality. And it's like that when Jesus went into the cocoon of the tomb, as it were, he comes out of it as a glorious butterfly, beautiful, alive, transformed, but still physical. Look at verse 40. This is a little mysterious. There are also celestial and terrestrial bodies. The glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Terrestrial means something fitted for earth, like what Adam had, what we have. Our bodies now are fitted for earth. We are subject to gravity and things like that. But then there are celestial bodies. And that would include not only the angels, but for us in a glorified state, our present body is appropriate for earth. Our resurrection body will be appropriate for heaven. And that's what Jesus had when he rose from the dead, and what we will have as well. Continue the verses here. It says, verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown. The word there means like to plant a seed. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now his body was not sown in corruption. He had no sin, but our bodies do. And so they were sown in the ground, planted like a seed. Verse 43, sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Now, when it says spiritual body, that does not mean it's a ghost. We've already seen that. What it means is our glorified body, like Jesus's glorified body, is fit not just for the physical realm, but for the spiritual realm of the supernatural, an ongoing miracle, as it were. Then skip down to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but look at this. We shall all be changed. We have to be changed to be fit for heaven, not just in our souls, but in our body. There has to be a transformation, and that happens in our future resurrection. And what does the change include? Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Did you see? We have to be changed. Our present body is mortal. We will become immortal just like Jesus. We have corruption in us. That will be taken out when we die. It'll be left in the grave. We started off by reading Philippians chapter 3, and it says that our bodies will be like his. Have you ever wondered not only what his body was like, but what our body will be like when it's raised again at the resurrection and the rapture at the second coming of Jesus. 1 John 3:2 says, it has not yet been revealed completely what we will be, but it says, we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. Doesn't mean we'll become God like him. We will have a body like him. Well, what kind of body? Romans 8:30 says it will be glorified, just like Philippians 3 says. It'll be perfected. So someone says, yes, that's right. It'll be just like what Adam had before he sinned. No. It'll be greater than what Adam had even before he sinned. He had a mortal body that could die and did die. We will have an immortal body that cannot die. Adam was still subject to certain laws of nature. We will not be subject to those. We will have those qualities that I just mentioned that Jesus had. We will be immortal. We will not suffer pain. Boy, you're all thinking amen to that. Revelation 21:4. There shall be no more pain. I'm looking forward to that. We will have perfect health, and yet it'll still be our body that's transformed. Like Jesus, we'll have the same DNA, fingerprints, and blood type that we had before, but there'll be something different. Question: why doesn't God give us this dramatic change in our bodies the moment we get saved? Have you ever wondered about that? The reason is it has to go through stages of change, just like Jesus went through stages, coming to earth, dying on the cross, rising and ascending. We go through these changes. For example, God changes us when he gives us the new birth. All things are made new, the Bible says. We have a brand new thought process, new affections. But sin is still in our bodies. The book of Romans says that we still have concupiscence. It stirs up. So God first starts on the inside and then later on the outside. We have indwelling sin. We have original sin. That's why Paul said, I have that body of death on me. We still have a physical body. We still eat, sleep. We look the same, more or less. Although, have you ever noticed when a person becomes a Christian, there's almost something different about his countenance. He has peace. He has a smile because he knows God. But the big change in our body is still to come. First, we have to be converted in our spirit. And that happens when we were born again. Listen, when the Holy Spirit comes in, not just into our soul, but into our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6 says, that's why our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit that's in us. But then one day, our bodies will die. Back to the glove illustration. We're in a body of death that will one day die. And what happens when we die? Our soul leaves our body just like it left the body of Jesus. And what happens at the resurrection? When we rise from the dead, we don't put on that old body. It's a brand new body. Like when Jesus rose. With new qualities. And it's like the white glove, no sin anymore, no concupiscence, no temptation can ever overtake us anymore, no pain, we're absolutely conscious. And it happens at the second coming, it's immediate. Bible says it's like the twinkling of an eye, we will be glorified. Jesus once said this, he says, we will glow with the glory of God as bright as the sun in the sky. Now this glorification does not mean that we become divine, we become gods. That's what Mormons teach. And unfortunately, that's what some extreme Pentecostals like Kenneth Copeland and others say. They say we become little gods. No, that's heresy. We are glorified, but we will never become God, but we are glorified with a new body. No pain. Revelation 7:16, we don't even have to sleep anymore. We can eat if we wish. Jesus ate in his resurrection body. Here's another one. Revelation 21:4 says, no more tears. I like what Charlie Spurgeon said. He says, God's going to transform our tear ducts for other purposes than weeping. What other purposes? We will be recognizable. There'll be no more scars. You know, we will be eternally young and strong and handsome. For 25 years, I did a ministry at two local nursing homes. And from time to time, we would sing a song that would touch their hearts. Maybe you know the song, "In the Land Where We'll Never Grow Old." I read a profound insight by my favorite theologian, Jonathan Edwards, and he said this, and I don't think anybody else had ever noticed it. He says, look and compare the four Gospels on resurrection morning, and the women came there, and Peter and John. It says, when the women, such as Mary Magdalene, came, they saw angels. But one of the Gospels says they looked at the angels, and he appeared like he was a young man. And Edwards said, how old was he? He was created before Adam. He was at least 4,000 years old, and yet he looked like a young man in the vigor of youth. And Edwards said, that's going to be us. Millions of years from now, we won't age. We'll be eternally young, strong, handsome. Women will be eternally beautiful, just like that angel that always looked young. So in our resurrection body, we'll have the same new qualities that Jesus had when he rose from the dead. And God has given us only a hint of what that will be like. Ah, that is the glorious promise for every born-again person in the world that's ever lived, every Christian that believes in Jesus, for all Christians, but only for Christians. The Bible does say that unbelievers will be raised up, but not in a glorified body. Daniel chapter 2 says it'll be a body of contempt. Sin is taken out of us. It will never be taken out of them. They will have concupiscence, but will not be able to enjoy pleasure in any sin. We will have no more pain, only pleasure. They will have only pain and no pleasure. We will be transformed, and the lowliest Christian in heaven will look so gloriously beautiful, it will outshine all the beauty pageants back on earth. But those in hell will have ugly bodies. You see, our bodies will show our character. In heaven, we will have no sin, therefore our countenance will be beautiful. Those in hell will be grotesque like ogres. In heaven, we will never sleep. They will never sleep in hell. They will be never resting. There's no water for them. They will always be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. We will never die. They will always be dying, but never cease to exist. So you see the contrast. Before we close, let me share two other wonderful truths that people sometimes overlook about Christ's resurrection body. You remember when he appeared to Thomas, who doubted whether Jesus rose, and he says, Thomas, you said you wouldn't believe until you saw the scars in my hand and my side. Behold, when Jesus rose, he still had the scars in his hands and his feet and in his side. And he still does. They were not removed in the ascension. They were there forevermore as trophies of his love for us. Story is told about a little boy in Sunday school, and the teacher said, you know, heaven is beautiful, and everything in heaven was made by God. The little boy put up his hand, and the teacher said, what is, there's one thing up there that God didn't make, but man made. Well, what is it? The scars in his hand. And the teacher nodded and said, out of the mouths of babes. You've heard of the great Fanny Crosby. She wrote more hymns than anybody else in history, and yet she was blind almost all her life. And one day she met with the pastor and was talking about, oh, I want to see Jesus. And the pastor said, but Fanny, you're blind. Oh, I'll get to see him. And he said, how are you going to recognize him? And she says, oh, I will know him by the nail prints in his hand. And she later said, I feel a hymn coming on. And she wrote a hymn with those words, I shall know him by the nail prints in his hands. Secondly, Bible says we will see him as he is, 1 John 3:2. We call that the beatific vision, and it's mentioned over and over in Scripture. It's comparable to the transfiguration. You remember on the Mount when Jesus showed the blinding glory of God emanating from him? We will see him, and people have said, now, we will just see Jesus. We won't see the Father or the Spirit. No. You want a little icing on the cake? Want a little bit of ice cream on the pie? We will get to see the Trinity through Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So in some ineffable way that we cannot comprehend, because we cannot experience it now, when we see Jesus in his glorified state, we don't just see the glory of God emanating from him. In some mysterious way, we get to see the Father and the Spirit through Jesus. They are three in one. That's another reason he took on a body. Thomas Aquinas said this 800 years ago. That's one of the reasons Jesus took on a body, so that we can see God as he is. He is Spirit. Now we cannot see him, but in the incarnation, in the glorification of Jesus, we will see God through Jesus Christ. These are only a few of the marks of his glorious resurrection, and there's more to come. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. And this is the glorious truth of Resurrection Sunday. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you that you did not leave Jesus on the cross or in the tomb, but you not only raised him, you glorified his body, you rewarded him. And what's more, you have given us that solid promise that we too will rise. Not in mortal bodies like what we have. Who wants to live in this kind of body anymore, Lord? You will give us perfect, glorified, sinless, immortal bodies when you raise us from the dead. Thank you. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.